Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. Children, you may be dismissed. Amen. I'm thankful for the, first of all, for having a birthday. Let me say that first. I'm thankful for the cards, the ministerial staff. Thank God for you in helping me and giving me an opportunity to sit down and allow to be ministered to. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful for the ministerial staff. This is a card from them. It says, "The Lord your God celebrates and sings because of you. He will refresh your life with his love." Zephaniah 3:17. "May your heart be filled to overflowing with his abundance blessing on your birthday." Amen. This is the ministerial staff. Thank God for you all. This is the music ministry. Thank God for you all, because your pastor is not a singer. Made by God, uniquely designed, strategically gifted, exceptionally durable, and crafted with quality. Unconditional love. What an awesome job God did when he made you. Happy birthday. Amen. I was a work in progress, I'm going to tell you that. And this is from the motherboard. "Wishing you God's most precious gift." What better gift to wish you than the kind that God can give, providing you with all you need for every day you live? What better time to tell you that you mean a lot to me, and I hope your life is blessed with all God's best continually. Happy birthday, Mother Gloria, to my pastor, nephew, son, man of God. I love you. Ain't you boy? Amen. Thank God for the cards, the well wishes. I thank God for you all. Thank God for allowing me to see a birthday. Amen. Many don't make it to the next one, but I thank God for allowing me to see. You know, when you get to a certain age, you stop saying half. And you ask somebody that's young, they'll tell you that they're 13 and a half, or they're 14, or 16 and a half. You take that half off when you get a certain age. And man, you don't tell folks. You don't even tell them anymore that you know, your birthday. So forget about the half and just forget about the birthday altogether. They ask you how old you are, you say, "Hush your mouth." You don't even go there with them no more. And then the women, they like, I don't know where this rule came from, but it's a undisclosed rule, and it's in the fine print. I mean, you got to read the fine print. And that is, you don't ask a woman her age. I ain't never heard that. Have you heard that before? You know, Ricky, you taught me a lot. Have you heard that before? I have never heard that before, you know. But you can't ask a woman, hey, but then she'll come and ask you yours. How old are you? You tell me your age, I tell you mine. Amen. Thank God for this opportunity to speak before you. Amen. We do have a word. Let's pray for our members that are out. We have some that are traveling. I believe they're out of town. Let's pray for traveling grace and mercy for them. Amen. 1 Chronicles 14:8. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm just going to let you all know, I don't know what time it is, so I left my phone at home, so I may be up here for a while. I'm just kidding. I'm sure somebody would be out there keeping time. With Mitch ain't here, so I don't know who else would do it.
I got you,
brother. Yeah, I noticed. That's why I don't have no ministers behind me. I don't want nobody pulling my coattail. I've seen that happen once before in the pulpit. Believe it or not, I saw a pastor pull a minister's coattail. He was telling him to shut up. That was a nice way of saying shut up. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hands? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. Y'all know David's anointed, right? You don't fool with an anointed man of God. Man, you may talk trash, but you better not touch him. The anointing is God's ability in you to enable you to do something with ease without it being a struggle for you. Much like a car's engine, eventually it won't run very well without motor oil. Trying to do life without the anointing will leave us with some issues. Amen? So you better make sure that you're anointed by God to do what he's called you to do or do what you feel as though you're being called to do. Amen? Every one of us has a calling on our life. You need to understand that. You have a calling on your life. But not everyone does what they are called to do in life. I had to pause right there. Many times people get distracted by other pursuits. They get overwhelmed by a task that feels too big to handle, or they may even get caught up in trying to do what someone else is called to do. Y'all ever seen that before? Sometimes we feel as though that we hear somebody preaching and we see that, oh, man, they doing a good job. God calling me to preach. You know, and then all of a sudden you want to preach. You know, some people do things effortless because of the anointing that's on their life, and we feel as though it's meant for us to do it as well because we're looking at this person in their anointing. Amen? Amen. You ain't going to see me grabbing a microphone because God has not anointed me to do that. Amen. But when I look at Brother Moore, he's like, ooh, man, he can sing. You know, when you look at Minister Corey or Angela, you look at, you think, oh, man, they can sing. But don't grab that mic. Y'all better hear me when I'm telling you. Don't grab that mic and put yourself out there. But when somebody is operating under the anointing and they're singing, it sounds good, doesn't it? That is a blessing. And you just sit back in the background and just visualize yourself singing like that. If you're not living in God's will for your life, you'll end up miserable. David had been anointed king of Israel. Now David is under attack by the Philistines. He's under attack by a physical and spiritual force that seeks to disrupt the promise of God in his life. So let's look at what David did that led to this breakthrough for him in Israel. Many times we all are in our life at some point, we're going to need a breakthrough. We're going to need a deliverance. We're going to need help. The book of Chronicles cover much of the same time in history as the book of Samuel. And these two books contain some of very same accounts found earlier in the Bible. It is an account from the life of King David. And this account, we will see an example of how God can give us a breakthrough in our life if we are willing to follow his orders. In verse 8, David had been anointed king over all Israel. The first step in your breakthrough is to find and fulfill your place of anointing. Your anointing is the calling of God upon your life and the power of the Holy Ghost to walk in that calling. If David was anointed to be king, it is doubtful that he would have ever experienced a breakthrough trying to function as a priest or a prophet. All right. Amen? He was a king, and his breakthrough would come in the area of that anointing. Not the anointing of a priest, not the anointing of a prophet. His anointing was king. Amen? Now, another example is on your way to your breakthrough, you need to find out where God wants you. You need to find out where God wants you. What ministry are you called to? What person has he has paired you up with? Amen? God paired the disciples up, right, when he sent them out. There is a reason why he paired them up. You need to understand who has God paired you up with. What plan does God have for your life with respect to even employment? Amen? If you are not operating in your area of anointing, you will not experience your breakthrough. I'm sorry. You're going to get mad because it ain't working for you. For example, there are people that are pastoring churches who are not called to be pastors. They are operating outside of their anointing, and until they yield to God's call and the ministry, the gift that the Holy Spirit has placed upon their life, they will never experience a divine breakthrough. Right. It's not going to happen. David was anointed to be king, and David experienced a king's breakthrough on the battlefield. Right. Y'all know when David wasn't on that battlefield, what happened to him? David was anointed to fight. I'm sorry. He was anointed to fight. He was a king, but he was anointed on that battlefield. When David was not operating in his anointing, he got into some trouble. This is why he looked at Bathsheba when he should have been on the battlefield. He was operating outside of his anointing. His anointing was not in the palace on top of the rooftop looking over at his neighbor's wife. His anointing was on the battlefield fighting. As long as he stayed in his anointing, David won battles. But when he got out of that anointing, man, he got in some trouble. This is what's happening to many of us. When we get out of that anointing, we're not operating where we're supposed to be. And then we want to point fingers at everybody else. And then we want to say, God, well, if God is a loving God, or if God is doing, why can God do that? You ain't operating in your anointing, first of all. Let's start with that. The thing about a calling is that God's call upon your life, it is his decision for your life, and when you yield yourself to his call, the anointing will follow and the breakthrough will come in the area of your life. Right. See, when you are operating in that anointing, that anointing will follow you wherever you're going. If we try to function outside of his call and anointing, the doors will close. All right. Those around us will not affirm our call. And we will be frustrated and unfruitful. Yes, people will affirm God's call on your life. Amen? The first step is to accept our anointing. God may anoint you to clean up the church. You may not like it. But I'm going to tell you, that is your anointing. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's not the pastor, but it is cleaning up the church. You within the house. I cleaned up the church and refused to take money from the church told the church, no, y'all keep that. I'm just enjoying being in God's house and cleaning up the church. And y'all know from that, just that, God bless me. I wasn't trying to be the pastor. I wasn't trying to be something else that I wasn't. I was just enjoying being in God's house. Now, some people say, well, that works well for you. It'll work for you, too, if you operate in your anointing. God has a calling on all of our lives. But see, here's the thing. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up to oppose David. When we embrace God's destiny for our life, the devil will come against you. Y'all understand that? There's no breakthrough unless there is something to break through. Y'all get that? Some obstacles to overcome or some opposition to triumph over. But when the opposition comes, we cannot surrender to defeat or give up on our dream. If we know that we are operating in God's plan and purpose for our life, and if we are embracing our divine destiny, then we need to keep on keeping on. All right. Amen? Again, David was under attack by the Philistines. It was spiritual and it was physical force that came to disrupt the promise of God. And David, being anointed over all of Israel, the anointing was God's endorsement. y'all know how they say, you know when it's time for election, people come out and say that they're endorsing this candidate? Well, see, when that anointing is on you, God is saying, I'm endorsing this. Y'all understand? This is God saying, I'm endorsing this candidate right here. This is my approval. All the Philistines went out to get David. These were the same people who ran when David killed Goliath. These were the same people who had witnessed the miracle of God to the nation of Israel. They wanted to kill David. Why? Because David represented the promise of God. When you are anointed, the devil will come against you. Because that anointing is not just for you to sit down. That ain't what that anointing for. You just got all this anointing on you. You just sitting there. And ain't doing nothing in the ministry. What is that anointing doing for you or anybody else? Nothing. It's wasted. It's not doing anything. It's no good to have a lawnmower in your garage and you're not using it. You're out there with some scissors trying to cut your yard. You have an anointed lawnmower in your garage. Put some gas in it, sit your behind on it, and ride it. The enemy, let me tell y'all something. The enemy is not afraid of mediocrity. Ain't afraid of that. It's when we come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that strikes fear into the enemy. It's when we begin to speak the name of Jesus over our family that causes him to shake and shudder. It's when we go to our jobs and we actually are living what we are preaching, that God lifestyle, that the enemy gets to shaking. Your coworkers see the blessing of God, the anointing of God in your life. It's when we have that anointing to pray around a flagpole or over our meal in a crowded restaurant and can care less who's looking at us. And don't have a problem of saying who I serve. Amen? If we look at the sick and say, well, I hope you feel better. Satan doesn't mind that kind of talk. You hope you feel better? Satan don't like, he don't mind that kind of talk. The devil don't care if the church sends a get well card. He don't mind that. But when we send a prayer cloth or anoint them with oil, look out now, because the blessing of God is coming. David had been anointed and the Philistines didn't like it. See, here's the thing. Y'all need to understand something here this morning. The devil understands more than you think he does. You looking at anointing like, oh, yeah, I've been anointed. You just walking around. I'm anointed. The devil is looking like, oh, shoot, that person is anointed. I got to attack that person. You walking around, hey, I'm anointed. Don't know what to do with it. I mean, let's be real. You say, oh, well, I was prophesied, and they said, hey, they said I was anointed. You know, I got prophecy. You know, they said I was anointed and everything. The anointing and calling is on my life. You standing around still don't know what to do. You don't know whether to sit down or go around or laying hands on folk. You just doing this. Don't even know what to do because somebody said you've been anointed. The devil is saying, that person is anointed. I'm finna take this person. Nah, I ain't finna play with this. Immediately. Look what the Philistines said. As soon as they heard that David was king, they went after him. So you don't think the devil can hear? As soon the Philistines don't represent God. They represent the devil. As soon as they heard that David was king of Israel, hold up. They knew what he did to Goliath before he was king. Oh, my goodness. This man is king now? Hold up, man. We got to stick it to him because he's coming after us. All the Philistines went up to seek David. The Philistines sent everything they had. All the weapons of war against David, they had watched David defeat Goliath. When we claim the blood of Jesus and get anointed, every demon in hell get nervous. They seen what Jesus done on the cross. They seen Satan defeated. When we get anointed, they know we are about to get our territory back. We are going to do something for the glory of God. And Satan tries to send everything he can against us to prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. When David heard that the Philistines was coming up against him, he didn't run and hide in the king's palace. No, instead, when David heard that the Philistines were coming after him, he took the fight to them. What, somebody talking about me? Huh? Somebody talking about God? Oh, hold up now. We got to deal with this. Because David didn't play when you talked about God. He was like, what? They talking about coming against me? Oh, hold up now. Let's go. Where they at? You know, I have a, let me just say this for a moment. This is a station break here. We have a cousin that is anointed to fight. And there was a situation going on. No, I'm being for real with y'all. Those who laughing know I'm telling the truth. He is anointed to fight. All he needs to know is who it is and point him in a direction, and he's fighting. They don't care. I mean, he is. Because there was an altercation in the family. We had a little situation some years ago, and all I know is he hopped in the car with me. True story. Hopped in the car with me. We took off. Tires spinning and everything. We get there. He don't even know how the person look. But all he wanted to know, is that him? No, man, no. He get ready to beat up somebody he don't even know. No, not him. Who want to put him in my cars? He's looking around, want to know who it is. This true story. I'm a true story. He's anointed to fight. He don't care. He wanted to take the fight to them. This is what came to me when I thought about David. David was like, hold up, you two want, let's go. You know why David took the fight to them? Because God anointed him to fight. What did it say? Saul killed how many, but David killed this many? He's anointed to fight. You talk about fighting David like, bring it. Man, I took out a bear. I went after a lion. You think I'm going to be scared of you? See, here's the thing. The next step in our breakthrough is to pursue our purpose. We have to want it enough to pursue it and to persevere with passion. We have to stand up like men and women of faith and refuse to allow fear or doubt to discourage us. Amen. We got to not allow that stuff, not anything to discourage us. Let me tell you something. If you are a preacher, you're a minister of God, and if you stand here and preach God's word, let me tell you something. You can't be afraid to say what God's word is saying. If God's word says, you got to preach it. If you are not preaching what God's word is saying, you are not a preacher. You just a spokesperson for somebody, for the devil. Because God's word brings conviction. It brings correction. It will tell you what you're doing wrong. And when you find yourself doing wrong, just straighten up. But if you're not going to preach God's word, then get out of the pulpit. Don't even bother to read the Bible anymore because you're not preaching. God's word is a word that convicts. You don't like it, but you got to deal with it. Let me say this way. I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. God's word, you can't make it like fit into your life. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You can't make God's word fit into your life, because if you try to make God's word fit into your life, then you're going to take some things off that you don't like. It's like eating, you know, you pick that out. Well, then why even get that? Here's my point. You got to fit into God's word. You understand what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. When you try to fit into God's word, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a snug. It's going to be tight. But it's going to be right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be tight, but it's going to be right, though. You know, you want it to be a little snug on you. You know, you ever got something tailor-made? It fit just you, right? That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's going to fit just like that. It's going to be a little tight. You understand what I'm saying? But when you take God's word and make it go into your life, you're going to take some things off. Because you don't want to be bothered with that. Let me tell you something. Breakthroughs rarely comes to those who give up. Right. If you're a person that give up, then a breakthrough ain't for you. Right. It ain't for you. Breakthroughs don't come to people that are passive, that are fearful. Breakthrough comes to people that stand the test, that do what David did. Oh, hold up. You coming up? No, we're going to take it to you. Breakthrough comes to those who are willing to embrace and pursue their divine purpose. All right. Amen? There are no breakthroughs for people who quit every time they hit a speed bump in the road or when they face opposition. Breakthrough comes to people who pursue their purpose with passion and refuse to let their dreams die. People who are willing to fight the forces of hell and to cross through high water and achieve what God has placed in their heart. Breakthrough never comes to a complacent, but breakthrough comes to those who refuse to quit. If you are not a quitter, a breakthrough is coming your way. But if you're a person that quits and you get mad, and every time somebody don't say, they may not have spoke to you or whatever, let me tell you what my grandfather used to say. Did you speak? Amen? It'd be something different now if you spoke and they didn't speak back. But man, if you just come into a place and they didn't, and nobody spoke to each other, whose problem is that? Last time I heard or seen, we all had a mouth. Amen? Why is that? I got to be the first. Amen? I was taught this way. You come into a house, you speak to the people in the house. Amen? I mean, let's just be real now. Now I'm gonna tell off on myself. You know, I went into my aunt and uncle's house. You know, grew up with the boys, in the back room playing, having fun. Well, they didn't know I was in the house. Okay, now I'm in the back room playing with them. They didn't know no difference because they have two sons back there. Okay, now here it is. I'm a third person back there. The voices, everything sound the same. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I'm in their house, been back there for a good while. And all of a sudden, they come back there and they look in the room. Hey, I didn't know you was here. I did. But the point is, I went into somebody's house and I didn't acknowledge the owners of the house. Regardless if I have privilege to go in there, but the disrespect was that I was in their house and didn't go and find them to speak to them. That was disrespectful. So what I'm saying is, if somebody is already here and you come into the house, you should open up your mouth and speak. Amen? That's just the way it works. You don't just say, nobody spoke to me. I wouldn't speak to you either. If you're going to have that attitude. We need to understand that we let little things. And let me tell you something. If that drove you out of the church because somebody didn't speak, Lord help you to get rooted. Because whether you speak to me or not, it doesn't change my stance with God. It doesn't change my blessing. It doesn't change what God has in store for me. Matter of fact, the more people do stuff to you, the better you are. Here's what I'm saying. Because Jesus said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. Don't let me go there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Jesus said the same thing. So let me tell you something. If you're having problems on this Christian journey, guess what? You on the right path. If you're not having problems on this Christian journey, you on a different path. And it ain't going to King's Highway either. See, I wonder how many times, listen to this, we've been one prayer away from our breakthrough, but we quit praying. Or we've been one praise away from a victory, but we stop praising God. Heaven must weep when Christians are one knock away from the door open, but we stop knocking. One invitation away from seeing our loved one saved, but we stop asking. One good day's work away from a promotion, but we quit trying. There are no victories for people who surrender to defeat. There are no breakthroughs for people who refuse to passionately and persistently pursue their God-given purpose and calling. Listen to what I'm saying. The next thing David did as the Philistines continued to harass the nation was that David inquired of God. David inquired of God. One thing I'm going to tell you, David may have messed up, David may have did some stuff, but one thing about it, man, when David inquired of God, you in some trouble. When he got back right with God, you in trouble. Yeah, he did his dirt, he did his stuff. I ain't excluding that. But man, that brother got back right with God, he came back. David went and he inquired of God. He asked, shall I go up against the Philistine? Will you deliver them into my hand? David was seeking God's direction before he took any action. The reason, and here's the thing, think about this for a moment. He's asking God, he done already beat him up before. But he want to know if God's going to do it again for him. You see what I'm saying? He already beat up Goliath. That was their best man. He took Goliath out. You know, when you beat somebody up, you feel as though, hey, you're the same person. I beat him up again. Am I right? Am I right? You know, you walk by him, you give him one of those. You give him one of those numbers. Because you didn't already beat them up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, David could have walked by and did them like this. That should have scared them, right? But no, David said, hold up now. I got to inquire of the Lord because I'm getting ready to fight. Just because you're anointed, you just can't do whatever you want to do. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just do whatever you want to do. You better seek God's direction and guidance because you're going to get yourself out there. You may get beat up. Amen. I don't care if you did it before, but you better ask God. I beat him up before, but God, you going to give it to me again? Can you do it again for me, Lord? So David says, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? David was seeking God's direction. The reason some people never experience a breakthrough is because they take action without asking God what he will do in this situation. Then when they get themselves in over their heads and backed into a corner, they want to bail out. Amen? Y'all seen that before? Y'all seen that before? Folks doing their own thing. And all of a sudden they said, Lord told me to go this place. And they go. God ain't told them nothing. It's a desire that they had inside of them that they've been dwelling on for a long time, and they went and talked to somebody else. Somebody else probably told them, you only get one life to live. You better, and they probably just got done drinking too. You better live it up. I mean, you go, just go. You want to go there? Go. Go. Ain't spoke to God, ain't prayed on your behalf or nothing. Telling you to just go. Here it is. Your blessing is right here where you standing. But yet, you leave and go someplace else, then you get mad because nothing is working out for you. And then you want to cuss God. God knew when you got over there it wasn't going to be the way it was going to be. Because he didn't send you over there. Look at Jonah. Did God send Jonah that way? No, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah went as far as from Nineveh as you could possibly be. That was his doing. That wasn't God doing. Jonah even knew it. Jonah was like, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm y'all problem on this boat. You ain't got to worry about this storm will be over as soon as y'all get rid of me. I'm going to tell you. No, man. You ain't got to. No, you keep your cargo. Yeah, keep all that. You going to need it. But just get rid of me. I'm your problem. You don't need me on this. I'm telling you right now. I just do it myself. And I just do it myself, man. I throw myself. No, I'm going to throw myself because you can't touch me. I'm the anointed. Touch not my anointed. Do my proper anointing. That's God said. That's a little ad lib for y'all. But y'all know it's true. The first thing, here's the thing, though. Think about this. The first thing the enemy will try to do is cut off communications with God. Y'all ever get to that point where you're having a hard time praying? You're having a hard time talking to God, seeking God, you know, because the enemy is trying to cut off your communication with God because he knows when the anointed pray and call out to God, he's in trouble. He knows that. He knows he's in trouble. When a saint of God gets down on their knees and begin to pray to God, our Father, which are in heaven, Satan gets disturbed. He said, oh, Lord, they're calling on their daddy again. All right. Great and mighty things begin to happen when the anointed people of God pray. People are healed when the anointed pray. Addictions and bindings are broken when the anointed reach the throne room of God. Get in your prayer closet and you start praying to God. Things start to happen. Situations starts to move. Things start to move in place. Situation becomes no more. Breakthroughs begin. When the anointed call out to God, families are restored. People are saved. That child that's in jail all of a sudden is released. The sickness that they were experiencing, they no longer experience that anymore. All right. Because a child of God is praying. Somebody pray for me. All right. Amen. All right. Y'all know how that is. Somebody pray for us. All right. To get us to where we are today. Yeah.
David was still in communications with the one that mattered, and that was God. Through it all, no matter what David faced in his life, no matter what David dealt with in his life, man, I'm going to tell you, David knew how to pray to God. That man prayed, and I mean, he got down and he prayed to God. He knew that the only one that's going to be able to get him out of this is God. You need to find out if you're operating in God's will before you go out there and start doing things. See, when you're moving in your calling, you're pursuing your purpose. And you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You in God's will. This is the will of God. When you're operating in the purpose that God has designed you for, you're operating in that will. David asked God straight up, will you deliver the Philistines into my hands? And God said, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. David had assurance from God before he pursued to take action. David didn't say, think about this for a moment. David didn't say this. He didn't say, Lord, if this were to happen, will you deliver me? And then, after that, you know, would you, I were to do this, because, you know, we like to do our own thing. If I do this, God, would you deliver me? Or you know how we add stuff on and we try to say, well, Lord, what if I, I say I kill their goods and want to have a little barbecue for my men when we're done fighting because they're going to be hungry. Yeah, I remember Saul did that, right? Yeah. So my point is, David just straight up, Lord, first of all, if I do this, will you deliver them into my hands? That's all I need to know. All that other stuff ain't necessary. David was just trying to do what God's will was, and that was destroy the enemy. That's all David was concerned about. He wanted the assurance that God was with him, and that's what we need to do. When we make decisions or we go about things, you need God's assurance. You need to hear from him. Many times we pray, but you know what? When we get done praying, what do? We get up, we start doing what we're supposed to do. And we don't even give time to God. You just say, yeah. Okay, well, you ain't going to hear me now. You're distracted. Y'all follow me? Am I making sense? Yeah. Because now you're not going to hear him because now you're distracted. Right. But see, if you stay there, God will speak to you. He will give you the answer, the response that you need. The Bible says, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Amen? See, the other thing is, we shouldn't tempt the Lord. Don't leap from the pinnacle of the tower just to see if God is going to catch you. Amen? Ask him for approval before you get out the boat. Amen? Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out. In other words, I want to come to you, Lord. But I need to know that it's you, and I need you to give me permission because I can't walk on this water. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And let me say this to you. I don't want to lose you here. But Jesus walking on water. Now, y'all know any person that try to walk on water would drown, right? But y'all know what? It was that spirit, God, in that flesh that allowed that man, that body, to walk on the water. Y'all follow me? Because you know, no person can walk on water. But the spirit of God that was in that flesh was able to walk on that water. We need to understand, for Peter went out there and said, Lord, bid me to come. Breakthroughs are not accidents. All right. That's not an accident. All right. We don't just stumble into a breakthrough. Oh, hey, I broke through. No. You tripped. That's what you did. You just tripped. That's not a breakthrough, Okay? Real breakthroughs come as a result of consistent effort. Amen? You want to be blessed by God? Be consistent. Even the widow woman, the judge said, I'm this woman is persistent. He gave it to her. My point is persistence. Constantly coming to the house of prayer. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel your best, I preached a message one time and I was up, I was sick as I don't know what. And I preached. And then went and sat in the car and, you know, was just off to myself. And the brothers didn't even know I was sick. I was done. I ain't have no more energy. The reason why I went and sat in the car, because y'all could have beat me up and I would have been done. I was vulnerable. My point is what I'm trying to tell you is that you need to understand that God is trying to bless us. We need to be able to understand that God is here for us. Breakthroughs come. Even when you don't feel like coming to church, even when you don't feel your best, come. You don't, your me time, you better be glad God don't say he needs some me time. Am I right? God, after all, is dealing with the whole entire world. You just one little person. You maybe got, what, two or three kids or one, whatever, and you need me time? Yeah. You better hope to God don't say, I need some me time. I'll get back with you. David was king, and his men would carry out his orders. But David knew that even he must have direction from God. As believers, we are told that Jesus is the captain of our salvation and has much need to seek his will before we act. Before we do something, we need to make sure that we have God's permission to do it, because you want to make sure that you're in God's will. Amen? Amen? Amen. You want to make sure you're in his will. Because if you're not in God's will, it's not going to work out for you. You need to understand that. And one thing I like about David as I close, David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like a breakthrough of water. God broke through. But God likes to use us as vessels. Y'all notice that? God liked to use us. God used David's hand and David's action and David's decision action to provide a breakthrough for David and Israel. Let God use you for a breakthrough for this ministry. Amen? Let him use you for a breakthrough for this ministry. You know, don't just sit down on your anointing. Don't just sit down. You know, that's not going to work. What if David said, man, the Philistines after me? Shoot, we in trouble, y'all. How would you like for a leader to say something like that? When we first got this building, you know, I had a lot of people that say, oh, I don't know about this, pastor. There's a lot of work. You just let me know you ain't finna help. That's what that means. I'm just being real. Yeah, I saw that the roof needed repairs. I saw that a lot of stuff was, you know, we didn't have a sanctuary here. It was a pool. I saw all of that, but I said, God, is this you saying that we need to get this building? And God said, yes. I said, Lord, if it's your will, then let it happen. And God let it happen. But I could have listened to people and said, yeah, they right. You know, we got a big hole in the floor. You know, you need to cover that up, and roof is getting ready to fall in on us, and we ain't got very much money. I could have just listened to that, but I stayed the course. I said, no. I said, God is saying, let's do this. Let's take this building. And we did. So you have to listen to what God is saying to you. Because people will put stuff in your spirit. Y'all understand what I'm saying? People will put stuff in your spirit, and they'll keep riding you. It was like, come on, I know you a man of God and all that. Here they go now. Here's what they say. I know you a man of God and everything, but pastor, let's be real now. You ain't going to make it, pastor, not doing this.
I mean, come on, Pastor. You preach a powerful word, but this is life.
That's how they come and talk to you. You know, I was like, well, brother, I understand you. You know, but we just gonna keep